Hello, friends. I'm Daniel Green, and you're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today, I'm very fortunate to be joined by Mike Catron to discuss the Bulls, Cavs, Mavs, and the Nuggets, and maybe some other stuff, maybe some movies, maybe some Tinder, maybe some Urban Outfitter. You never know what's going to happen on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, so glad you guys could join. Mike, how you doing, man?
Great, Daniel. What's going on?
Not much, man. It's been it's been a long day, but I'm happy to talk some hoops. Happy to talk some hoops.
Yeah, me too. It's been I'm still recovering from that long New Year's weekend.
Yeah, see, I mean, I think as we discussed, I mean, you're a young, strapping young lad still. I'm old, man. So it's
I'm
like
not that old. Or I'm not that young.
I don't even like really for New Year's for me. It's like by 1 a.m. I'm basically home by like 1:15, 1:30. Like I used to stay out to like 4 or 5. Now those days are sadly gone.
Yeah, me. I should probably start thinking that way, but once I get a few drinks in me, you know, it tastes so good on the lips. It's I'm always out till 3, 4. One of these days it'll stop. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I mean it's weird because I live in New York, so I've done kind of everything that I've kind of wanted to do already. You know, I've been to like the posh clubs. I was on a boat a couple of years. Then I've done the large house parties, the small house parties. So, you know, now all my friends are married and kids and stuff. So it's like.
That's the real key is once your friends start drying up.
Yes.
You got nowhere to go. What's better?
The
loud, crowded club or that bottle of whiskey you just bought and sitting around watching some basketball?
Little Johnny Walker Blue, maybe.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
Fancy stuff.
Well, New Year's, man, you gotta pay up for New Year's. You gotta pay up for the high class whiskey on New Year's.
Yeah, just give me some bullet, I'd be fine.
All right, so I think kind of as Mark explained to everyone, if you were listening the last few days, at this point, you know, we've played about each team has played, you know, around 35 games. So we're kind of gonna take you around the association and discuss each team. You know, go through the rosters, players you should keep. Who you should drop, who you should think about, maybe you want to sell high. So just discuss players in general. So today we've got some really good teams. We got your favorite team, the Bulls, we're going to talk about. Talk about the Cavs, which might be pretty quick to talk about them. Also Dallas and maybe Denver if we have some time. So
yeah, if we can get to it, yeah.
Yeah, so we got some good teams today. Hopefully we'll give you some information that you can use and, again, help you dominate your season-long leagues. And maybe if you also play some DFS too. So let's just jump into it, my man. Let's jump into it. Let's start with your squad. The Bulls.
I wonder if Mark set it up right, so I would I'd get the Bulls, and he would probably berate me about Hoiberg's coaching. Luckily, he's not here to berate me.
And by the way, the Bulls have been playing well. What are they? They won like 5 straight now because they won again tonight.
Yeah, we won against the Bucks tonight. Ever since that team meeting and all that animosity with Butler and coaching staff and all that, I think it really put I guess a fire on everybody, and they've been helped a little bit with the strength of schedule. But you know, Toronto, Milwaukee, those are teams they need to win to beat. So,
and the shocking thing to me tonight was that Derrick Rose came back and he played, which I'm not a big fan of. But whatever, he played, and Jimmy Butler actually got more shots than Derrick Rose, which is shocking. That's a good sign.
That is a positive sign. Jimmy Butler's been absolutely on fire.
Yeah, he's been absurd.
Tonight, 32-10. That's going to help. I drafted Jimmy Butler in most of my leagues, mostly because I'm a homer, but also because preseason I thought to myself, there's no possible way Jimmy Butler is worse this year than he was last year. So you're either getting his production last year, which is great, or you're going to get a better Jimmy Butler. And right now he's playing like a better Jimmy Butler.
Yep. I will say the one guy that I actually picked up in the last – when Noah went down was Taj Gibson. And Taj Gibson, he's certainly not going to shoot a lot, but 14 rebounds and 6 blocks today, which was beautiful. Just so sexy, so delicious.
Well, yeah, that's the hard part with the team. Obviously, Butler, fantastic, top 10 player, 9 cat. Paul Gasol is doing his Paul Gasol thing. I'm actually a little surprised he's doing it so well.
And the cool thing about him is minutes, 35 minutes today, which they, you know, they've been keeping him, you know, around that 30 mark. See him get 35 was a good sign.
Yeah, he was. They needed him tonight. He was actually I think he hit a three or maybe a couple threes tonight. He hit 2 3-pointers tonight. I'm sure everyone who owns him loves to see that. He does have that range on the season. Let's see, where was he? He's actually averaging 0.2 threes a game. That's not bad. The 2.3 blocks really helps. He's obviously somebody you want to hold on to. I don't see him breaking down. He didn't really break down last year. Obviously, he's old enough to break down for the rest of the season, but I wouldn't move him unless you have a Bulls homer in your league.
Yeah, I'm with you. We all know what to do with Jimmy Butler and Gasol, but then after those two guys, to me it gets really interesting with this team. I mean, we can go a bunch of different routes. Right now, Joakim Noah is banged up, so that makes Mirotić and Gibson, puts them back in play, and then you have the chosen one in your city, Derrick Rose. I mean, let's talk about those three guys. Oh. I'll give you pick one. And let's go from there. All three of those guys are really interesting plays.
Well, let's start with Noah because he creates more of an opportunity for people. Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose, and I think people are kind of used to him being in and out. But when Noah was not starting, he felt he was not standard league value when he was playing 20-some minutes a game. But then
the thing is for me though, if you wanted assists. And Noah was still viable.
Yeah, I think he borderline, if he needs assists, especially from a big man.
Yeah,
he's a great, and that's why he's always been such a good fantasy value, is because he does rebound really well. He's never going to score a lot, but he'll get the blocks, he'll get the steals, he'll get incredibly high assists for a center. But in 20 minutes a game, to me. It's almost not worth rolling with him unless he's kind of getting more minutes and playing better. And there for a stretch, he was, and then he got injured. So with him coming back, let's see, what's the timetable for that?
Day to day.
He's still day to day?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little worse than that.
I mean, what I'm looking at right now on ESPN, it's saying out, Noah remains day to day, from Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, so that kind of hurts because over the last couple weeks, you've seen Mirotić and Taj Gibson take a bigger role. Gibson can do this when he plays these types of minutes. Over the last 2 weeks, he's had 9 points, but 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, that's almost a steal a game, 58% field goal shooting. Gibson does that. But once Noah comes back, I think his minutes drop to, the mid-20s. Nico's minutes probably stick around where they are. Noah's comes to about a mid-20s. And also has been really nice. Bobby Portis has been good. Fantasy-wise, meh. But skill-wise, playing-wise, he's looked good. And he's going to want more minutes as well. So
yeah, but this is the scenario, though. So let's say Noah comes back, later this week. What are you doing with Taj? Because I have Taj. I've been on two of my leagues, and this is a decision that I'm going to have to make. And to me, I'm probably going to let Noah play a few games, but to me, Taj is not going to be – he's not going to be viable. I'm not going to be able to own him in leagues.
No, I'm going to guess he's going to have to be dropped. Yep. I've been kind of hanging around the Reddit, the subreddit, the fantasy basketball subreddit, and there's a lot of talk about how people overreact. I'm holding on to Taj Gibson when Noah comes back because I want to see what happens when Noah comes back. I'm going to give it a week, feel out how Hoiberg wants to play it, how he wants to play the rotations. If Taj is now suddenly favored and he can get, almost close to 28, 30 minutes, then he's still going to be of standard league value. But if I have to predict what's going to happen the rest of the year, he's probably going to drop out of standard league value. Mirotić is going to be hot and cold, similar to how he has been this entire year. Bobby Portis's minutes are going to drop drastically. It kind of sucks because there's some value to be had there, but with that crowded front court, it just is not going to work out.
Yep. I mean, yeah. So I'm with you. Like the sad thing is, I like some of the guys here. I wish, there's definitely – they have upside. But once Noah comes back, Taj's minutes are going down. Mirotić's minutes are going down. Portis's minutes are going way down. And to me, those guys are not going to be ownable in a standard kind of 12-team league. So
Yeah, I highly doubt it. Sell high now if you can. And then when Noah comes back, do you want to pick up Noah when he comes back? Because you said you've had him on your team a few times.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me. So for me, like you said, I mean, assists can be a tough category to win. And if you can get a big guy getting you 4 or 5 assists a game, you know, that can help you win a certain week. So I don't mind, using Noah if you really need assists. Otherwise, though, look, he doesn't really do much else for you. And I'm still, like you said, what is Hoiberg going to do with minutes? Because they've been playing well. I could easily see Noah's minutes, dipping right around that 20-minute mark, and he's not going to be that valuable if he's only getting around 20 minutes a game. So I think we do have to keep an eye out, see what Hoiberg, how that rotation is actually going to settle, what it's going to settle into. But
we're kind of back to square one. In fact, yeah. we're almost worse than what we originally were looking at, simply because Bobby Portis is in the mix now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is that, though, we do know, because look, Thibodeau killed Noah. He killed all those guys. We're playing him all the minutes. So yeah. It's not surprising if Noah goes down again. And so I think at this point we know what to do if Noah would go down again. It means that Gibson becomes very viable. Mirotić becomes a borderline player. Like you said, it's going to be hot and cold. And then Bobby Portis becomes an intriguing play as well. So, look, I'd be shocked if Noah stays healthy the rest of the year. I would not be surprised if Noah gets traded. So, kind of have this all on your radar. And, if something with Noah happens again once he comes back, you kind of know what to do and you know who to pick up and who not to pick up.
Yeah, definitely. With Derrick Rose, are you interested at all now that he's back?
I mean, I just loathe watching the guy play. He's so inefficient. He's so bad. But I mean, like, I guess it would depend. If I'm punting on field goal percentage, I'm trying to pull up, his stats on the year.
Yeah, they're scared
to even look or to see how bad he's shooting.
Fantasy-wise, they're not good at all. Punt field goal percentages, they're still not good.
I mean, he's shooting 38%, 39%. I mean, he gets you 5 assists. He doesn't even give you – he gets you only 0.6 steals and only 14.5 points. I mean, he's like a borderline
player. And for some reason, his free throw shooting is down to 72%. I mean, chalk it up to maybe his broken face and his double vision.
And you're always going to be wondering how many games Rose is going to be playing this week. So, I'm not a fan of owning him. I get if you wanted to own him, I'm not gonna jump through whatever computers and tell you not to. But I mean, he's not for me. Like I just like so inefficient, and he doesn't really like what category is he really gonna help you out like that much? He's not great at anything anymore.
And from game to game, what can you expect? I'm not rushing out to pick him up in any league. I'm watching him as a streaming option, maybe in bigger leagues. Or leagues where I need some point guard, little point guards, or maybe some points, some assists, where I don't care about my percentages at all. Those would probably be the only leagues I'd be maybe either picking them up if it's a bigger league or streaming them if it's standard size.
But let me ask you a legitimate question.
Sure.
At this point, who would you rather have? and I'm being like, as much as it's a funny question, I'm being like genuine. Would you rather have Derrick Rose in your team or Stephon Marbury? Like, bring him back from China and get Marbury on the Bulls.
Oh, come on. That's a ridiculous question.
No, it is not. I watched Marbury.
Is Stephon Marbury alive still? Is he still doing it in China?
He's alive and kicking, my friend.
Is he still being paid by the Knicks?
Probably. I think that's until he dies. He's going to be paid by the Knicks. But
it's amazing.
Like, Derrick Rose, it's like, man, he's just so bad. And I do wish – and, like, no one talks about Marvin.
He's not that bad. I am not a complete brainwashed Derrick Rose is one of the greatest of all times. He was the youngest MVP ever, and at that time he was amazing. But he'll never be that good. But he at least knows how to run an offense when he doesn't decide he wants to shoot 20 times a game. The problem is it's hit or miss with whether he's going to have a good game, and he's going to try real hard, and he's not going to be afraid of contact. Well, in those games, those are games we win.
Yeah, I mean, but also like in real life, like Derrick Rose, someone – and I guess from what I've read about Chicago and the Bulls and D. Rose, like he hasn't yet come to the own realization where he's no longer the MVP of Derrick Rose. Yeah, he still thinks he is.
It's like, not – Derek's team. It's Derek City. You know what I mean?
If that anymore. But, I mean, yeah, he needs to come to the realization that, look, he is no longer the top option on that team. That's Jimmy Butler. And really, he shouldn't be the second
option. Not the second option on that team either.
Jimmy Powell. So, like, but I don't think in his own mind he's come to that point yet. So I think when he does, it'll benefit
everyone. Yeah, I think he needs to drastically readjust what his game is. And occasionally you see it. Occasionally you see his floater hitting. And you see him distributing more, trying to drive and kick. But even that becomes too predictable. If that's all he's doing, he's going to have to hit a shot.
How old do you think Derrick Rose is?
How old is Derrick Rose? 27.
Yeah, he's 27.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, like, I can't figure out if that seems old to me or young to me. I guess that seems about what he should be, right? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, he's been the savior of the city for his first, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
The amount of electricity that he brought to those crowds during that time when he was MVP, when they had the best record in the league for 2 years in a row, really just stuff you always remember as a Bulls fan. And so it's really hard for anyone who is a true Bulls fan. Bulls fans are usually pretty cynical, and I definitely know that Derrick Rose isn't that good anymore. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he could be an MVP again, but I don't think I could ever really take him down a peg simply because of the joy he's brought me watching him play.
That's why you have me here. And that's why I recommend all of you listeners, go pick up Stephon Marbury and drop Derrick Rose. If you could just use Marbury stats in China, it'd be phenomenal. But I really would have loved to see Marbury get another chance in the NBA. Like, I think he did get shortchanged a little bit. Like, it ended really – so.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of that might have been on him.
Well, clearly it was. But, you know, like, the NBA gives people 7-8 chances. Like, I would have liked to see him come back and get one more crack at it. Because, I mean, he was fun to watch, man. Especially, you know, I live in
New York.
When he was on the Knicks and ended so bad.
When Jay-Z's rapping about you, you've made it.
Yeah, man. I mean,
he's there.
And I still remember, this is how you can tell how old I am. Like, the days when it was Marbury and Garnett in Minnesota, like, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, those were good.
It was so fun to watch. All right, let's do a little quick trivia. Let's see if you're as good as Mark at this game, like, before we
move. I don't think I'm going to be as good as Mark.
To the Cavs. So, Mark, as you know, if you guys were listening to the show a couple days ago, Mark knew, like, everyone's salary down to, like, the exact penny, which was, like, clearly, like, when Mark's at work, supposed to be at work, he is studying with player salaries. Like,
that's obvious.
Yeah. You know, so I'm going to do a couple with you.
All right. I might be able to do the Bulls because I probably should know that
team.
Stuff.
Don't let me
I'm
down.
I'm more of a height guy. I can get height within, like, an inch.
Don't let me down, my friend. Come on. this is your squad. All right. How much? All right. We'll do Kirk Heinrich. I want Kirk Heinrich's age, his height, and his salary.
His age, height, and salary. God, he's probably 33. He might be older.
35.
He is older. He's been around forever.
Forever.
So
he went to Kansas. Can you tell me the other player that his other teammate at Kansas who was really good?
Drew Gooden?
No, but good guess. Rafe LaFrenz.
Oh, Rafe LaFrenz. Rafe your friends.
Yeah.
He is 6'4".
Yep, he's 6'4", that's right.
He averaged almost like 20-8 in his first playoff appearance. Look it up, everybody.
Stop trying to, like, you know, wow the audience with other news.
Captain Kirk. I think he makes like $3 million because he signed pretty low enough. So not low enough for me, but
That's very close. He makes 2.85.
Okay.
All right. We'll do one more. Nikola Mirotic. Just give me the salary. Or if you want to show off with your great knowledge of height, you can do that too.
I think he's like he's younger. I don't know how old he is. He's like 24. Okay. He is 6'10".
Yep, he's 6'10".
And he signed because we had to wait for him to come over from Europe. So he got out of his rookie contract. And I think he signed for like 5.5 each year.
5.54. Yep. Look at you. Oh. Look at you.
Hey, I know a little something.
Very impressive start. All right, let's move on.
Me and Mark will go at it one of these days.
All right, let's move on, man, to Cleveland. So Cleveland, Cleveland is what it is. Although Kyrie is now made his return. So
let me pull
up the Cleveland roster.
I don't think we need to talk about LeBron. He's doing what LeBron does.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin Love, on the other hand. Kevin Love's kind of taken a downturn since Kyrie's got back. Actually, Kevin Love took a downturn before Kyrie got back.
Yeah, Kevin Love was weird. He was weird, man, because he started off the season okay, and then he had a stretch where he was on fire. And DFS was making me a fortune. I was basically going to buy a house because of Kevin Love. And then, something happened before Kyrie got back. It's hard to decipher if he had an injury or what, where his shot just went AWOL. And then, obviously, with Kyrie back, it hurts, Kevin Love and usage and a bunch of
different possessions, touches. But also, think about this. J.R. Smith also came back. Iman Shumpert also came back. Was that affecting Kevin Love as well, having perimeter players who did more than just pass or just shoot a three?
With J.R.
Well,
back.
I guess that's all J.R. does. Right. He doesn't pass. J.R. doesn't pass.
Exactly. But J.R. didn't really hurt Love. Impact him.
Do you think it's just a slump? He's shooting under 40% over the last month. But he's still giving you rebounds. He's still giving you good threes as a big. His assists and steals are good. He's just not scoring as much, and his percentages are bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised he's shooting 36% from 3-point range. I mean, Kevin Love should be around 42%.
Especially playing with LeBron, he should be wide open.
Yeah, I mean maybe Kyrie's gonna, that will open up the floor a little bit more for Kevin Love. And
That would require Kyrie to pass the ball.
True, but I mean, you never know. But Kevin Love to me is going to be a tough player. I mean, like I have him in one league, and I'm trying my darndest to get rid of him and trade him, and hope that just someone based on his name value alone, they'll kind of take him off my hands. Like, I'm not expecting, a whole lot. Like, I think, he's averaging 16 points. Like, the numbers are still – they're okay.
But they're
just
fine.
They're just not – it's not the Kevin Love of a couple years ago pre-Cleveland. And even when he came to Cleveland, like it'd actually be interesting to compare Kevin Love's numbers now to Chris Bosh when Bosh was in when LeBron was in Miami. They're probably pretty close.
I think they're similar. Those guys who can carry an entire team became –
go ahead.
Channing Frye 2.0, like that's who they became.
Yeah, except Bosch. I mean, I'll tell you this: no way in hell he was shooting 42%. Like, I'm sure Bosch was. He was always close to 50%. So that's one striking difference between the two. I mean, in terms of Kevin Love, though, I mean, like, if you have him, obviously you're going to keep him. But are you looking to do anything if you have him, just ride it out?
I think he's definitely going to take a hit with less touches. This right here, what's going on is just, I think, just a nasty slump, and he'll recover, but he won't recover to what he was doing at the beginning of the year. So if you want to try to move him, I would, but I'm not worried about him like suddenly falling off a cliff.
Yeah. The other thing about Cleveland that you got to pay attention to, it's like they're one of the worst teams, the slowest teams in terms of pace. So that's why, for fantasy purposes, that sucks. So, while there's not a lot of touches to go around. So LeBron and Kyrie are going to take up most of those touches, and there's not going to be a whole lot left for poor little Kevin Love. So
yeah, and for really anyone else on this team.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith's the only intriguing on-again, off-again, hot and cold guy that can make your roster.
So is he a guy that you would want to own or maybe just stream?
I would want to own him when he is
– when he gets hot.
Hot. When he's hot, I want him on my team, and I'm not going to drop him. Lately he's been knocking down a lot of threes, and it's strictly for those 3-pointers.
Yeah.
He doesn't
Giving you, he's giving you over 2 threes a game, which is pretty nice. Yeah.
And he can get real nasty and just drop, 4 or 5 a game for a while, and then suddenly he'll disappear, and then Iman Shumpert will come in and, take his minutes. I'm not – everybody else, I guess the only person other than those guys is if Mo Williams ever got back to playing 25, 30 minutes, he might be someone you want to keep an eye on.
And he's barely even getting minutes. I mean, they've been at this point giving the backup minutes to purely to Dellavedova.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying there's games where Mo Williams is like – he's the last guard off the bench and like barely seeing minutes at all. So now Mo Williams is no spring chicken. So they could be just resting for him, and once the playoffs hit, that's when they're going to unleash him. Later.
That's my guess, is that they're keeping him fresh for the stretch or the playoffs. I bet you see a lot more of him in the playoffs than you would think.
Yeah,
but worth watching. No one else on this team's worth owning at all, and I'd like to give a special shout out to how terrible Timofey Mozgov is. He's
that giant piece of crap. Like,
he's worthless. Just, I've been saying it since the beginning of the year.
But the thing is, like, when he gets minutes, he actually does. He's been productive. Like, he was last year for about a nice stretch, and this year, like, I don't know what the deal is, but
The Cavs should worry about that. He was kind of key in some of those playoff series. Yeah. And he can't do crap this year.
And LeBron loved him. He did lots of pick and rolls with LeBron. He meshed really well.
Remember, LeBron went on his little sabbatical, and they traded for Mozgov, and then suddenly they teared off on, 20 wins or something.
Yep. And I guess there is one other player. Yeah, Mozgov actually cost me a lot of money in DFS. So I load that giant garbage trash can. So let's talk about one other player though that maybe we missed, and that's Tristan Thompson, who's basically he basically replaced Mozgov in the starting lineup. So he's getting 27 minutes a game. He gives you 10 rebounds a game. So he's not he shoots a nice percentage, doesn't get you a lot of shots, but shoots 55%, only gives you 7 points.
The
thing that stinks about him is he doesn't get you blocks, only 0.5 blocks a game.
He does literally nothing.
Right. So, but is there any way that you would consider him or not or no?
I wouldn't own him anywhere. I would maybe say, Cleveland's playing some more games this week, or not even that. I need some rebounds, and that's all I need. And I'm good in all my other categories. I'm picking him up. Or if you're in a roto league and you maybe it's a bigger roto league, you desperately need some rebounds to move up the ranks. All right, stream him for a couple weeks and get rid of him. But I feel like, on a standard 10-team league, you might be able to find someone who can give you, instead of, 10 rebounds a game, that's what he's doing. Yeah. You might be able to find someone who gets you 8.5 rebounds a game but also actually does something else.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, before we leave Cleveland, let's
Who would ever want a vacation in Cleveland anyway? I never heard anybody say that.
That's
an old Joakim Noah line.
Yeah, no, I know. I remember that well. no wonder you hate Cleveland. It's because they always take out your Bulls.
Of course. Why would I not hate Cleveland?
Yeah, it's a horrible thing. So there's two guys on Cleveland who are the exact same age and make the exact same salary, and that's James Jones and Richard Jefferson. So I want you to tell me their ages and how much money they make.
They're both 61 years old.
At least. on a good day.
I would guess they make a vet minimum. I don't even know what that would be, though, so I'm going to say $2 million.
Yeah, that's what surprised me, man. So, first of all, they're both 35. And, I swear we did this game with Mark, and the veteran minimum I thought was, 1.3 or 1.3 million or 1.5 or something like that. But then I thought it's totally contingent on your years of service in the NBA. And both those guys have been in the NBA for,
ever.
15 years, 16 years?
Forever.
Yeah, so, but they both make only $947,000. Now, obviously, it's still a lot of money.
They must have signed for less to get on this team.
Are you under the CBA? Are you allowed to do that?
I have no idea.
You would think the union wouldn't let them do that.
They shouldn't, if that's the rules, but it must not be. I have no idea.
If you guys are lucky enough on tomorrow's show, Mark can explain the salary cap and why.
I'm sure he knows exactly all that stuff. Yeah. I do know a little bit about the salary floor, and that today there, I think Philadelphia is either under it or is usually under it, but they get over it right, like right at the end of the, when the time period where you have to be over it is. There's only, with the amount of money coming in due to the TV contracts and how much money that's going to put in, and all these salaries are going to, you know, explode. Today, there's only one team who has enough money spent to be over the salary floor when all the new money comes in, and that is, I think, the Brooklyn? No, it's the whoever's the highest. There's only one team. That's whoever pays the most. Which I basically just fell asleep during that soliloquy.
As soon as you mentioned like salary floor, I was like, I don't know what this guy's talking about.
This is important, everybody. This is very important. Only if you are in a salary league. There's some salary leagues out there.
You and Mark can do a whole show on salary floor, salary ceiling.
We'll start our own salary podcast.
It'll be a salary podcast. all right, let's move on to Dallas.
Yeah.
Intriguing team.
Dallas has been a fun team this year. They always are.
In terms of DFS, they've been a nightmare. I mean, no idea from night to night who's going to play. I'm shocked they're still the 20-15, even though, and that's, they've had a rough week and some tough losses.
See, I guess that's there's the difference between DFS is like everyone who you, other than anyone who was highly invested in Chandler Parsons, which on DFS that probably has been boning you as well. Everyone else is performing a lot better than you thought they would have.
Yeah. No, I mean, like Darren Williams has been great. JJ Barea has been great. Fat Raymond Felton's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's been good. For a stretch, he was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Dirk's been okay. Wes Matthews, Dirk's been
more than okay. I mean, no. Dirk is currently ranked 28th on averages in 9 cat leagues for the season, which is really impressive at his age. Wes Matthews, like you're saying, should be owned in every league, and you should stick with him. He's going to just improve, I would think.
I guess one guy that we have to talk about is Chandler Parsons, obviously. So now,
yeah,
you know, the first 30 whatever games were brutal to own him. He was playing like every other minute, or you know, or like the second halves or first halves. It was madness. But you know, now those minute restrictions have gone away, which is finally a great thing. So if you waited, you know, congratulations. But the last couple of games, he's sucked. He's looked really bad.
Yeah.
Now, he's so handsome. Again, him and Kyle Korver, they would be on my all handsome team for the NBA. So maybe he's what had, you know, speaking of New Year's, he just went out too hard and partied on New Year's and still is not right. But look at like his first few games after the minute restrictions have gone away. Even tonight, you know, they beat Sacramento 117-116, and he did not really have a good game. 3 of 10, 10 points.
Yeah, especially against teams you think they would torch like Sacramento and New Orleans, he should play well. And
well, I mean, and the thing
shot that, poorly.
Well, also the thing that worries is starting to worry me and a little bit is that like against New Orleans, two games, like, even tonight was, I think it was a double overtime game with Sacramento. Mm-hmm. He took 10 shots against New Orleans, 6 shots against Miami, 8 shots.
This was a double overtime game. He only played 28 minutes, I think.
Yeah, so like, It's all not hunky dory. It's not coming together as quickly as I think people may have thought. And again, we're already 35 whatever games in. So, you know, are you just going to ride Parsons out, or I mean, what are you looking to do with this strappingly handsome man who makes me who I loathe as a person, but whatever.
Well, I agree with Mark's philosophy is like now is the time to start preparing and stop wasting your time on people who you're hopeful for and start preparing yourself to have a push for the playoffs and make the playoffs and have a good team for the playoffs. But I think Chandler Parsons is so high that he could actually make or break your playoff run. His minute restriction was lifted, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
So, you know what? He started only about his last five games he started. Those are the only five games he started after the men's restriction was over. The couple games before that, he actually looked pretty frisky with a 20-point game, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. Another game, 11 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. So he's playing, I guess, better than when he was in his limits restriction. Give him some time to come back. I'm going to hold on to him. I'm sticking with him. If I've stuck with him this long, I'm probably not actively pursuing him. Unless you are a huge Chandler Parsons fan, then get him on your team. But he's probably already on your team because he's sitting on the waivers all year.
I mean, I just don't know what to – like, what is his upside anymore? Like, you look at his career numbers. They're okay. Like, they don't jump off the screen to me. Like, I'm not overly enthralled at what this guy is going to give me the rest of the year. Like,
if his shot's not going down, he's not going to be worth it. And I'd give him another month.
You know, no. I'm definitely going to, and I don't advocate dropping him. But like, I'm just looking what category? Like, what is he going to put you over the top in? Like, where?
He's more of a, you know, there's guys like Tristan Thompson who's going to dominate rebounds and do nothing else. He's like the exact opposite. He's not going to get you any one thing, but a guy who gets you. Let's look at his numbers from, let's say, last year, which even wasn't one of his stellar years. 16 points, good. 2 three-pointers, pretty good. 5 rebounds, all right. 2.5 assists, okay, that could be better. A steal, good. 0.3 blocks, okay. 46%, all right. His free throw shooting is bad. His turnovers are good. There's nothing there that you go, oh, this idiot. Every single one of those categories, he's either good or pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're in a 9-cat league, that helps you a lot. If you're not punting anything, that helps you a lot. People whose strategies are punting, you know, that then he starts reducing in value.
Yeah. I mean, you look at his pretty face, sex appeal, and you look at the numbers, you're like, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's okay. Like, but you know, yeah, he does fill up things across the board. And if he's gonna hit the numbers that you just read, which he should, you would think, especially in a player friendly offense that Rick Carlisle runs, he should hit those numbers and be okay. But like, I would just, you know, temper your expectations a little bit. Like, I don't think he's gonna be a barn killer. Is that a term? Is
that a barn killer?
Well, what's like the right term? Like, people use, he's not gonna be a set the world on fire, something like that.
He's not going to be a barn burner?
Yes. Maybe. Is that it? I don't know. Something with a barn.
Barn burning is a thing.
Maybe that's it.
It's called arson.
I got to Google this after. It's called arson. I got to Google that after the show. But so I would just, you know, temper your expectations a bit. And I think it's just going to take a little bit longer because he is coming off a horrific injury. So
yeah. And best case scenario, I think, is what he did last year. And if he can get to that and he can do that when you're in the playoffs, that's huge. But, you know, in a month and a half, if this is still who he is, can do 9 points shooting, you know, 40%, you got to move on. So, that'd be the call I'd make on Chandler.
So let's talk JJ, Fat Raymond Felton, and Darren Williams. Like, Darren Williams was banged up and JJ was going off. It was absurd. Fat Felton was dominating earlier in the year. So now going forward, though, now Darren came back and played tonight. He's going to be the starter, no matter, you know, even, you know, how hot JJ was the last few weeks. But JJ's still going to get some minutes. Both these guys are intriguing to me. What are your thoughts on owning them, not owning them?
It's been interesting because all of them have provided, like, really good value at some
point. Yeah, it's been crazy. And like, it's – we should note, like, Darren plays with Fat Felton. Darren plays with JJ. They play – two of those point guards are playing at the same time. Like, it's like – so –
yeah. But like, with – like you said, with Darren Williams back and him starting, and he – the most important stat in fantasy basketball is minutes.
Yep.
Darren Williams is the guy they're going to go with. He's the guy who's going to get minutes. And I'm sure he's going to play his way back into doing something similar to what he was doing at the beginning of the year. I would probably go with him overall. And the problem is that they kind of, it almost seems game to game, they kind of feel out what's the better matchup for this team is Barea's quickness exploiting their defense better, or do we need Raymond Felton to sit his fat butt in front of guys and they can't see the rim because he's so fat in the way, and that helps on their defense?
I mean, tonight was an interesting example, right? Because so JJ's been so hot, Darren's been out, but then Darren comes back tonight, and look at the minutes. Darren tonight played 43 minutes, played the most on Dallas.
I'm really actually shocked about him playing that many minutes.
And he played well. You know, shot 10 of 18 from the floor, you know, had, what do you have, 25 points, only had 4 assists. I would literally like to see him have a little bit more than that, but he played well. Then you look at Raymond Felton, got 34 minutes, you know, had, well, only had 2 assists. Didn't do much, quite honestly, but still got a lot of minutes. And then J.J. Brea only got 22 minutes. So, and again, this was a double overtime game, so keep that in mind. So,
and the Kings guards are bigger.
Well, yeah, but Rondo was out, so Collison, went, you know, Collison, who's not as big as Rondo, was got the start tonight. So,
dang it, I did not know Rondo was out. I could have exploited that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say J.J. Brea is kind of a novelty, right? When he plays, it's really entertaining, and he can fill it up. But do you want him on your – is he going to be part of your closing five in a playoff game? No. So down the stretch, I see, you know, J.J.'s value just kind of plummeting, and Raymond Felton occasionally being good. I mean, I don't know if he'll – they're both worth watching around that streaming kind of maybe yep. take a flyer on them level, but I'm not rushing out to make yeah. sure either one of them is on my team.
Yep, I'm totally with you. I mean, I think that Darren is the guy to own unless an injury happens. And then if an injury happens to Darren, though, go gobble up JJ. We've seen it now numerous times. JJ becomes instantly valuable the second that Darren goes down. And you can even give Fat Felton a glance, but I'd rather go JJ over Raymond Felton if Darren gets banged up. And then the rest of those guys, you know, we talked Wes Matthews. He should be owned. Zaza. We didn't talk about Zaza. But I mean, like, look, 40 minutes tonight, 17 rebounds, and what shocked me tonight, 5 steals. Like, dear God,
he's a weird dude, but you gotta love him.
Yeah, he puts up numbers. Quite honestly, you can make a case that he's actually worked out better than DeAndre Jordan would have been, you know, for them. So.
Ooh.
Like, I'm not even joking when I say that. What would have DeAndre Jordan, like, Dallas would have tried to use him offensively? Like, that would have been a disaster.
Yeah, that would have, I don't think they ever were going to. I think that was just a play to get him to play there. Defensively, DeAndre is definitely better, but Zaza is not, like, a slouch. I'm surprised he was just kind of available, you know? Like,
I also mean, though, just for that system, you know, for Carlisle's system. Like, Zaza is a nice fit.
True. I mean, he can actually hit the occasional mid-range jumper,
yep.
and DeAndre playing there would neuter any pick-and-roll opportunities if he was out on the court. So, yeah, and you know what? I guess you can make an argument that it might have worked out better.
Yeah, so.
We saw what happened last time when they put someone in the starting five who didn't have a jump shot. He almost imploded the entire franchise, and then he went to Sacramento.
I mean, which was odd, right, that Rondo didn't suit up this game and didn't play. Like, it was, like, all day long there was various reports on, like, what the deal was with Rondo because he sort of looked healthy last game. And, like, so the fact that he wouldn't come back and want to play in Dallas, and I know the fans of Dallas certainly wanted him to play because he just crucified that franchise last year.
Yeah, they might – I'm sure they really wanted it. I'm sure he did not.
Yeah, I mean –
God, he was awful there. That's why it's so surprising to see what he's doing this year.
Yeah, I mean, he reached like levels beyond. Like it was like a I don't even know the right word to describe what he did to that franchise last year.
He disappeared for like multiple years and then almost destroyed the franchise. Now he's just trying to get paid.
I mean, yeah,
like, who is it?
But he's putting up monster numbers. I should say, if in case you were, well, I guess by the time you guys are listening to this, it will be probably on Wednesday, but if you're late, you know, what time is it? It's like 12:30 when me and you are taping the show at night. Golden State is up. All right, so I have the Golden State. Golden State's playing the Lakers tonight. It's in L.A. No Kobe. What do you think the score is? Just started the fourth quarter.
I have no idea. I would guess something silly. I mean, I'm a little wondering if you're tricking me, because the reason you're saying is actually close, but I'm going to guess it's like a 40-point game, 50-point game.
Close, 30. It's 94 to 64.
Jeez.
But the Lakers were only down 9 at the half. That's a win.
Whoa. Yeah. Really? Let me go check this out. Uh-oh. Klay Thompson alert. Klay Thompson league pass alert, 36 points.
Yeah, he's really come on nicely. And the other guy who's been playing well lately for the Lakers has been Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, he has. Definitely keeping an eye on that guy.
All right, real quickly, before we end the show, let's talk one player since we quickly hit the Lakers. Because this has now become, I think, a real issue to me. And I don't know if you've been following the news in L.A. And like Byron Scott, basically every day, he just insults.
He's like the worst coach of all. To me, it's a masterful performance art piece on how to be one of the worst coaches of all time.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Like he's an absolute freaking train wreck. By the way, I just watched the movie Trainwreck where LeBron's in it. Like LeBron has actually like a legitimate role.
And he's actually I actually recently saw the movie like a month ago. He was pretty good in it. It was actually funny. It made me briefly like him for.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for sure I'm gonna be able to watch him like make fun of him. He's gonna ruin the movie, and I didn't watch it for a long time because of that. Also, I'm not a huge Amy Schumer fan, but whatever. So, but like LeBron was funny. He was funny, man. Like I did not think
he wasn't trying too hard.
Yeah, and Amari Stoudemire was also in it. I did not find him very good.
I don't know. I didn't mind Amari either. He was kind of like it was a bit part, obviously, but I don't know. He wasn't completely like, oh, he's ruining the movie.
Yeah. All right. So
I like that. Amy Schumer. Who else is in that? Was that
I don't remember the.
What's that guy? Is it from SNL? It's not Will Forte.
I don't remember his name.
The guy who always did. Stefan, Bill Hader.
Yeah. But like, he's great. He was good. And then, you know, that who also like was, I think this may be the real, only reason why I stayed, LeBron and also this girl is why I stayed and watched the whole movie. Whoever played Amy Schumer's sister, that girl is smoking hot. Like
that's, she's an Anna Kendrick type, huh? That's right up your alley.
He puts Anna Kendrick to shame. Like Anna Kendrick is a nice little cute, like pretty girl, but like this girl was smoking hot. Like Anna Kendrick is, you know, she's pretty, but as much as I just like the Pitch Perfect movies, and I like the, and she can sing. But this girl, I mean, she's worth watching.
I don't know who that was.
All right, but while we let the viewers can Google that. But like, so all right, what are you doing with Larry Nance Jr., Julius Randle, and our boy D'Angelo Russell? Because look, it's time. You know, like I can't in some of my leagues. I have both Julius. I have D'Angelo Russell. And Julius Randle, and like I can't keep. They're only going to get 19 to 21 minutes a game, even though they're still putting up okay numbers. Is it worth it to hold on to those two guys if they're not? If Byron's not going to unleash them, and how long do you wait?
What I'm actually doing with them, if you want to know, is completely ignoring them. I'm out on the Lakers. It's a train wreck. They're trying to lose games. They're publicly insulting their most, I would say, legitimate prospect they have of Julius Randle, who could be a great, I mean, in limited minutes, he gets good stats. So not good enough to be standard value, but if you expedite that into a full starting night, that guy could be a kind of a beast. I just saw him running a fast break on a vine, like, you know, 20 minutes ago. The guy's really good. The rest, I mean, what am I going to do with any of them? Nothing. I'm going to ignore them. Out of the corner of my eye, I'll keep track of their minutes. But
My kid's the Lakers, and my stance, like it's tough. But like I made the decision today, and I had a little ceremony in my office. I lit a candle, and I dropped D'Angelo. Like I'm just.
I think it's about time.
It was like the thing is like he has. He still was putting up decent numbers for me, but like I'm just game after game after game. He's not even seeing 20 freaking 4 minutes, and like like, I do think at some point that will change, but I'm not I need guys who are going to give me more consistent value at this point. So, you know,
long overdue.
Yeah, you can say that, I guess. But so
I mean, I play more full Ninecat Roto League, so his percentages alone make me not want to own him.
I don't play much Roto. I mostly head to head, but
you should give it a shot. It's I think it's a little bit more complicated of a game, considering you can't ignore. Yeah. You can't go out and punt a few. You can go a different. You can try different strategies, but you can't fully punt two categories. Maybe one, depending on your league, but you got to build a robust, well-rounded team.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. So, So again, if you want to drop D'Angelo Russell, man, you can be like me. Just light a candle, say a little prayer, and let him go, and just have him on your watch list, because I do think at some point him and Randall are both going to be starting again, or if not starting, at least getting minutes in the scene close to 30 at some point. I mean, if not, like, Jeannie Buss should come and literally, like, slit Byron's throat. Or no, that's too graphic.
That's maybe pretty graphic.
Like, maybe just, like, give him, like, what could they give him? A nudgie? A noogie and a wedgie. I think I was combining them, but combining those. It's late, man. All right, let us end.
Speaking of graphic stuff, did you check out The Making of a Murderer yet on Netflix?
Dude, no, but I will say this. I went on a date with really, really attractive and really funny and smart, intelligent girl last night. And her favorite show, I don't know if it's her favorite show, but, like, she just stopped watching that show. And she, like, loved it. So I need to watch that.
The Talk of the Town, obviously, I'm not going to spoil anything because it's
– Yeah, do not spoil for me.
I would never do that. I'm very anti-spoiler, but – I will say this. I think it is must-watch television. It is a real documentary. I think everybody should go out and watch it. I don't know one person who didn't finish it within a weekend, and it's 10-hour-long episodes.
That's crazy.
I finished it in 2 days. I was obsessed with it. And I really think it should teach people a lot about the judicial system, about your rights, about, you know, corruption and interrogation tactics and stuff like that. Stuff that people should actually know. I think everyone should go out and watch it. And I know that sounds probably kind of boring. You will not be bored once.
See, like, the lawyer in me just kind of cringed when you mentioned legal stuff. So, like, I hate anything that brings down legal.
Well, I hate to break it to you. About 70% of the show is in a courtroom.
I know.
Man, it is not boring.
I know that's the one thing why I was a little hesitant, because I'm like, you know, I see enough of that crap, you know, all day, and that's my life. So I don't, you know.
It might not be maybe on a long weekend you can.
But no, I definitely think that I would enjoy it. So, all right, so that's the show, Michael. Why don't you tell them? I don't know why I just called you Michael, but whatever, Michael. I'll say it again.
Yeah,
you can let the fine viewers know where they can find you on social media or wherever.
Yeah, you can always find me on Twitter at Watch the Boxes. I usually publish my stuff, even if it's on an affiliate site of some sort, on watchtheboxes.com. And I lurk around on the Reddit subreddit of fantasy basketball.
You really want to use lurk? Lurk sounds a little creepy, man. I'm not going to lie.
No, I'm creeping people out. I think I'm just lurking around, stalking people. No, I occasionally go on there and dish out advice and see what's going on, see what people are saying. And my username is LT Dang, Lieutenant Dang, after the great Luau Dang.
Oh, wow. Nice. I thought it was going to be Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump.
After one of my favorite Bulls of the modern era.
And now he's killing my Miami Heat. So thanks, Thibodeau.
Sorry about that Spinal Tap.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gee. Just brutal. When he went through that Spinal Tap and the Bulls, you know, just what they did to him was just dirty.
Yeah, I'm not. One of the reasons I'm not a fan of our front office.
Yeah, just like.
The Luau Dang couldn't have been.
They could have killed him. Like, literally.
Yeah, they could have killed him. And he couldn't have been a better human being about the whole thing. He tried to play. Yeah. Like, a week after, he, like, couldn't, like, the symptoms are it drains your spinal fluid and your brain knocks against your skull. And he was like, can I play basketball next week? That's insane.
Just insane. Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, and now watching him play for Miami, or try to play for Miami, like, he's just got nothing left. So
no.
All right, so you can find me. Actually, you can find my dog on Instagram.
Follow I've heard my about dog this Instagram. Dog Instagram.
Yo, dude.
You it's got blowing it. Up, I hear.
Yeah, man. Like, my dog, Ed Harris. He's living the dream here in the New York City. So it's ed.harris.frenchy. I'm telling you, when I got my dog, I vowed never to make him get it so he'd have his own Instagram. But, man, it's commonplace here. It is, I'm telling you. So I had to finally do it. I have 450 – he has 458 followers. Not bad.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I got to get over 1,000 for him. He deserves it. So you can follow him. You can find me if you want. I'm not as exciting as Ed Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Otherwise, Mark will be back tomorrow, and he's going to take you through some more teams. And, again, hope you guys are having a good day. Hope you guys are dominating your fantasy leagues. Go watch some good TV, some good movies, and hit us up on our social media, and we'll see you later.
Cheers.
Bye, guys.